Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTeo, along with Cullen Steele, coordinating and supervising behind the scenes here, making sure we get out real good. And at 5:40, Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature. I want to tell everybody at 4:20, Chris Dotson from Clutch Points Sports will join us to talk about the Pelicans. And last night, oh my God, they jump out to a 20-point lead. And then all of a sudden, they turn the ball over and over again. 23 turnovers, which led to 32 points by Golden State. And Golden State was red hot with the threes. They shot 46 threes last night, and the Pels only 22. And it was an embarrassing loss. Zion got his 31, and Ingram got 30, but they got nothing else from anybody else.
No, and I was expecting Hawk to do a little bit more, but him and CJ were kind of lackluster last night.
Man, it looked as though Dracula visited them overnight and drained them. They had no energy at all against Golden State. And the rematch tonight, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL at 9 o'clock. And we'll have pregame, Pels pregame at 8:30. And again, we'll talk a lot more about it with Chris Dotson. But my goodness, come on, you got to play a little bit with a sense of urgency. They didn't have Andrew Wiggins. They didn't have Steph Curry. You got to take care of business. Just get a W here. Nobody's crying about the injuries you got. You know, they don't feel sorry for you. You got to move on. But last night's, that lack of effort to me is really kind of sticks out. Today, I guess maybe in some good news, if you're a Saints fan, Dave Canales, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, announced that Bryce Young will start at quarterback Sunday. It will not be Andy Dalton. Andy will be the backup. And so, I don't know, maybe Canales got the call from the boss, and said, hey, listen, I want the kid to play. But Bryce Young is scheduled to start against the New Orleans Saints Sunday, and he has struggled mightily all year long. And really, to be honest with you, I thought their best chance to win a game is with Andy Dalton, that quarterback. But Andy's going to be the backup this coming Sunday. Let's just hope that this doesn't kind of reoccur what we saw Saturday night with Texas A&M, and Connor Wegman was awful against LSU, and they pull him, and Marcel Reed comes in and just dices up the Tigers, and they couldn't stop the run. He didn't really have to throw the football. I mean, they were running the football all over the field. So, again, Bryce Young is the starter this coming Sunday. We'll have the complete list of the guys that missed practice and had practice today in a few moments. But we're going to go to break early, and then we come back. We'll have Chris Dotson from Clutch Point Sports to talk about the Pels, not only what happened last night, but what's going to happen tonight right here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTeo along with Cullen Steele. Want to tell everybody, it looks as though from numerous reports, Herb Jones, who got injured last night, he avoided serious injury, no structural damage after someone landed on, it looks like, his right shoulder or top of his right arm. We have on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line Chris Dotson, who covers the Pels for Clutch Points. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Any further news on Herb Jones?
Just that we're getting better news that I think I expected last night. As somebody that's had five shoulder surgeries and watched that, my stomach started churning. But, yeah, the imaging's coming back that he's clean. He avoided, like, a labrum that put John Moran out for all of last season. That's great news. And we're waiting to hear back from CJ and if he's going to have MRIs and imaging and see if we can get some good news out of that as well.
What is the starting lineup going to look like tonight against the Warriors?
You're going to have B.I., Zion, Tice will probably get in there. Jordan Hawkins is out, questionable. It's going to be tough to really put something behind the big three of CJ, Zion, and B.I. I mean, we've even got guys at the G League now that we should probably call them back from training camp because we might need them.
Chris, I think last night you saw just a lack of energy. Focus wasn't there. You jump out to a 20-point lead and you see it slip away. By halftime, I knew they were in trouble. I mean, you could just tell almost like you took the temperature. Something's wrong here. And this continuous part, not playing good defense, the turnovers. And I know the Warriors didn't have Steph Curry, and they didn't have Andrew Wiggins, but they didn't need him last night. I mean, they run him off the court. That was an embarrassing performance last night by the Pelicans overall.
Yeah, it seemed almost fluky in that first half. It looked like Golden State was still trying to get out of third, fourth gear. The Pelicans were getting pretty much everything they wanted to get to that 20-point lead. And they really, this Pelicans team, to maybe even throw out a wire reference, they feel like Stringer Bell. They don't have a country. They don't have an identity. They don't even have a lie to fight on. It feels like everything we were sold on, some of it, even those lies, this team had no fight last night, even on some of those lies.
I agree with you, and I think that's the most disturbing part of it. Hopefully they got more fire tonight, because if not, you're going to get blown out again. You got blown out a couple nights ago by Portland, who's not a good basketball team. They're not very good, and you know, back-to-back, you kind of like a run off the court. The one bright spot, though, and Chris, I don't think anybody would have thought he could play this well this early in Eve Misi. You know, we thought maybe we would see some of this maybe late in the season, but you're seeing it early with him. And it's funny, we had it on Jen Hale last week, the same time as you are now. And she brought up about, in talking to the coaches for the Pelicans, they brought up his intelligence and how quickly he can pick this up. And it was like a sponge. He was able to translate all that athletic talent, and now he's putting it, you know, on the basketball court. And I think we're seeing the early stages of his, what I would say, big jump developmental-wise.
Oh, yeah, he's proven me wrong. I was not that sold on Misi, even though I'd been over to Baylor. I'd watched him live in person in some tournament games. I was not that quite sold on him. But, yeah, when you hear him, the coaching staff and organization talk about his intelligence, a lot of this in the media made a lot about, oh, he's only been playing for 3 years. A lot of us also need to realize basketball ain't really that hard. It's bouncing a ball, it's passing, it's talking to your teammate. Energy is and effort's a lot of the defense, and he's got that in spades.
Yes, he does.
And he is very intelligent. Think about it. This is a world traveler that went to Baylor. He's multiple languages. He's wasn't even expected to start in Baylor, but picked up things so well that they couldn't keep him off the court. And, I mean, that's why the Pelicans had to draft him in the first round, and it looks like the organization's at least hit on another stud there. So that's one of the silver linings for the season.
Hawkins's play, and it's been a little bit erratic, but, man, we see – no, one thing he don't lack is confidence. He got that. He's willing to shoot that thing up. I think what you see – he finds a spot. Last night wasn't his night, but we've seen it in other games. I think he's very confident in where he can hit a shot, and I always thought he played with a lot of confidence. I mean, he got a stroke. Chris, there ain't a lot of people that can shoot it like he can. I mean, it's a sweet, sweet stroke when he puts it up in the air. Your thought on his early development, because we saw bits and pieces of this last year, but now I think he, now with so many injuries, he's got to play a bigger part, especially on the offensive side for the Pels.
Yeah, he's going to be playing a bigger part as far as minutes, and you're right about his shot. That is an elite skill at the NBA level. His shot is akin to the Ken Griffey Jr. swing. It's one of the sweetest things when it's on. The problem is everything else. The defensive numbers still aren't there. The ball handling, he had a bad pass to Misi last night. A couple other little bad decisions where you go to swing the ball. Got that extra pass in just to keep the offense moving, and the ball stopped with Hawkins. But that, I mean, that ball stopping comes from that confidence. He will never lack confidence. I just don't know how much more he can do in this team, considering what they're going to be asking him to do. We know he can't play point guard. We know he can't step up and defend bigger players. So it's going to be tough to give Hawkins the benefit of the doubt after, you know, a few good games, because we've seen three historically good weeks last season, and then we didn't see him in the rotations again because Willie Green just knew that the rest of his game has not come along that well.
The loss of DeJounte Murray, I think, I mean, we've seen it the last couple games where you need somebody to calm everybody down. And I think you brought him in here to be that facilitator, to make sure everybody gets their shots right. But there's also a part about, you know, being on that court to kind of get everybody in tune. They don't have anyone that can do it like Murray could. And, you know, to lose him this early, and now you got at least 4 to 5 more weeks before you get him back, that, to me, you can see his miss over the last two games of a guy kind of calming down a team that's still kind of feeling their way around the court.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, this team needed a point guard, traditional center. We know all this from the offseason, and this is where I was second-guessing Griff in the front office, is if you're going to get Murray, and you know this team has injuries, and that's going to be your only point guard, why would you not try and include Jordan Hawkins in that deal for Murray and keep the insurance policy that Dyson Daniels is?
Yep.
Because he's done – I mean, look at what Dyson's done. But if you had to trade him now, you would have to give up more than just a second-round pick or two that maybe you could have offered to Atlanta and say, hey, instead of Dyson, how about we give you Hawkins and the last couple second-round picks we have, something like that. And that would have looked genius now in hindsight. But, yeah, it's tough with Murray going out, this point guard situation. They're going to have to figure it out. Point Zion can only do so much, especially if the rest of the team's just not moving. Again, this team doesn't have the identity and the movement and the life and the fire, which are, you know, they need to be calmed down. Murray helps them there. But some of that fire and fight that we've, again, seen from Dyson Daniels over in Atlanta, tell me this team could not use that tonight against the Warriors.
No question about it. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. I know it was kind of short notice, but I appreciate, man, always great insights, and you bring it each and every time. But thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys. Y'all take it easy.
All righty. Chris Dotson, who covers the Pelicans for Clutch Points, and he's right, man. And you can hear the Pelicans tonight, pregame at 8:30, and then tip-off 9 o'clock right here on the Big 870 on the AM dial and 105.3 on the FM dial. We'll be back with Brett McMurphy talking a little college football right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillia along with Cullen Steele behind the scenes, coordinating everything on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. It's covered college football for a long period of time from Action Network HQ. Brett McMurphy. Brett, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
You got it. Good to talk to you again.
Brett, before we get into kind of the playoff type deals, one of the things, I do TV every Tuesday, and one of the guys that does the TV weekly with Bobby and I is Rich Morty, former Penn State guy. And for the last 5 or 6 years, every time Penn State has played Ohio State, I'll ask him, come on, is this the year? And he's like, Mike, I don't think so. Ohio State's better than us. I just got a feeling that Ohio State's going to win again. This was the first week I went up to him and he's like, don't ask me, but I'm going to tell you, I think this is Penn State's year. And there, he said, I think their ability to how well they played up front with their front seven and just the intrigue now of what's going to happen at quarterback. So you think possibly this is the big game that James Franklin can win going up either against an Ohio State or Michigan?
Well, he won't get of all the years to play, not play Michigan. This is the bad year not to play him when they're going to finish 7-5. I think Penn State's got a legitimate shot, and you know, you look at what you've mentioned, the interior line. I think that's a big positive for Penn State. Ohio State starting left tackle questionable, may not play or not. And look, I thought this, you know, back in the summer, I went to Big Ten Media Days in Indianapolis, And I was shocked by this, that not only Ryan Day, but all of his players that were in attendance, they weren't shy. They basically said, this year it's national title or bust. And, you know, like you mentioned, I've been doing this a long time. I've never remembered a team publicly say that before the season. Obviously, privately, you got your goals and all those different things. This is totally different, guys. You come out and say, if we don't win it, it's a huge disappointment. Because of that, I automatically thought, well, Ohio State's not going to win it. Not that they're not talented enough, but I just think with that whole mindset, you go from playing, trying to win to almost trying not to lose. And Oregon got them. Nebraska should have got them. And now you go at Penn State. They're only a 3.5-point favorite. That's got to be the smallest number for Ohio State. you know, at Penn State, and it's a top five matchup. And for all the games Ryan Day has won, he has not fared well in top five matchups. Oregon was one; he lost that. So this finally could be the year for Penn State. You know, either way, even if they lose this game, they win out, I think they're fine for the playoff. But I know this game means a lot for James Franklin, because at the same media day in Indianapolis, in his 15-minute opening press conference, he mentioned three different times, well, you can win 10 and 11 most places and be a success, but not at Penn State, because he's tired of hearing all the cat calls that they win 10 or 11 games but never get to the playoffs. So is this the magical year? We'll have to find out. But they got to be feeling pretty good about the situation, no matter what happens with their starting quarterback situation.
Brett, it's funny you brought that up about national championship a bus at Manning Passing Academy. I sit down with Will Howard, and we talked before the camera started rolling. The first thing he tells me once the cameras roll about expectations at Ohio State, it is national championship a bus. And you brought up the exact same thing. I was surprised he actually said it. To tell me that off the air is one thing, but he said it while the tape was rolling. And I was very surprised he made that comment, because, you know, he's a transfer guy there from Kansas State. But that mindset was there. Man, you lose this game here, you got some issues now.
Yeah, and look, this is not out of the realm of possibility. If Ohio State loses this game and they go 10-2, they're certainly not going to be in the Big Ten title game unless there's chaos all around. Ohio State would be 10-2. They would have the same number of top 25 wins that you and I have this year, and that would be zero. So how is we don't know how the committee is going to view that. An Ohio State team that's 10-2 with two losses against the only ranked teams that you played, again, it depends on who you're being compared with, but there's a very real possibility that if Ohio State loses this game, they could miss out on the playoffs. I think
okay, let's see. I think we might have lost Brett. Oh, got him back. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, Texas is in a similar situation. They have not beat a ranked team. And if they lose to, somebody down at the end of the last 4 weeks of the season, Texas A&M, probably the biggest test, Texas could be in the same spot, 10-2, no wins against ranked opponents, and you lost your only two games against ranked teams. So, depending on what happens all around the country, but yeah, it's funny, Ohio State and Texas, which probably most people would have put on a short list, not only to win the national title, but get to the playoff, could be on the outside looking in if they suffer another loss. We'll have to see.
Brett, I had a texter ask about this, and I think it's an interesting question that we're pretty sure there'll be two SEC teams in that top 12. Could there be a third in the playoff system?
There could be a third, or there could be a fourth, or, Colin Wilson, who I work with at Action Network, he believes that only two SEC teams are going to make it.
Okay.
He thinks that, he thinks Texas and Georgia gets in, and then LSU, Alabama, Ole Miss, kind of beat up on each other and shuffle down the rankings. He's basing that on Indiana getting in at 11-1. He's basing that on the ACC getting in two schools. He's basing that on Iowa State and BYU both going undefeated and then playing the Big 12 title game. So the loser of that game gets in. But he thinks only two will get in. I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet. I think, next week's game, and I'm sure you guys have already talked about it at length, and we'll continue to, is an elimination game. I don't see any way that the loser of Bama and LSU gets into the playoff with three losses. Unless just everybody ranked above them loses multiple games and they can shuffle up. But, you'll be behind, who the loser of this game will lose any head-to-head comparisons with the winner. So you would have to jump them. And then, specifically for LSU, there's no more ranked teams on the remainder of the schedule, so there's no chance there for any quality wins. unless, of course, Vanderbilt is still ranked at that point, which or gets back in the rankings, I guess. And I don't think that's realistic. So, yeah, this is a unique situation. I mean, LSU-Bama has always been the marquee game in the SEC, and this year it is. It's kind of everybody wants an expanded playoff. You know, they want to go past 12. Well, here's an elimination game. So this is, I guess, if we had a 16 or 24 team field, this would be the first round right here between Bama and LSU.
Brett, it's funny, LSU-Alabama, when you look at yearly rivalry games that have produced the most NFL players over the last 11 years, LSU-Alabama has produced 179 draft choices entering the NFL. 179. The second most is Ohio State-Michigan with 154. So it goes to show you how much talent has been on that field over the last 10, 11 years between Alabama and LSU. Looking at the college football world, man, to me, one guy, and I don't know if he'll win the Heisman, I think he's the best player in college football, Travis Hunter at Colorado.
I agree 1,000%. And I have done a total 180 on him since last year. And I think the biggest difference for me is, one, Colorado's having success on the field. They don't have to go 12-0. They don't have to go 11-1. They are exceeding expectations. And look, Ashton Jeanty, the Boise State running back, is having an incredible year. As an Oklahoma State alum, it's hard for me to say, but he could break Barry Sanders' records. But I will say, but Sanders will still own the per-game record because Sanders only had an 11-game regular season. But anyway, he's been incredible. Devil's advocate, he hasn't faced the strongest of opponents. Playing in the Mountain West, they did face Oregon. Obviously, that's a good out-of-conference game. But we saw, last week against UNLV, he was limited to 125 yards. The worst game of Barry Sanders' Heisman season was 10 fewer carries than Jeanty had against UNLV, and he still had 154 yards against Missouri. So I think not whether it's fair or not, I think the fact he's not in a power conference is going to hurt Jeanty. And I think Travis Hunter, people can say, well, look what Gabriel's doing at Oregon. Look what Cam Ward's doing at Miami. You know, yeah, they're having incredible seasons. They're quarterbacks on the highest-ranked teams going to the playoffs. And that's usually the recipe to win the Heisman. This year, I agree with you, it just feels different. Travis Hunter plays in 99% of his team's plays. That's unheard of. And he's not just out there jogging around. He was a mid-season first-team AP All-American offense and defense. He's the first player in the history of the Big 12 to be named offensive and defensive player of the week in the same season. And what Jeanty's doing is something that's remarkable, hasn't been done in 30 years. What Gabriel and Ward are doing is great, but it's done basically every year. What Travis Hunter is doing and what has never, ever been done before, and I think he's got a good shot. And this is a weird year with the expanded playoff and everything. Somebody tweeted this out. I'd mentioned him, but I can't remember who it was. Said, is it possible that the SEC doesn't even have a Heisman finalist? And, you know, I think that's a very real possibility unless Carson Beck goes crazy or, you guys got a guy sling it who's got a shot. And unfortunately, I think the fact that Daniels won it last year will probably keep some people from giving him a serious look. I know that's not right, but that's, kind of the mind of a Heisman voter. But I agree. I think if Colorado could end up with 10 wins, maybe 9, if Hunter stays healthy, and that's a key, but continues to play literally every play, has 100 yards receiving, passes defenses, gets an interception here or there, I think there will be a huge outcry that, he is, like you said, he is the best. There's no debate. There's like, no, he's not the best. He is the best player. It's the Heisman Trophy. It says most outstanding player. So I guess if we can change, if best equals outstanding, then he's got a shot. But it's going to be fascinating. But, as LSU knows firsthand, you guys have seen it multiple times. It's not where you are right now. It's where you are, mid-November. And you got to be you know, got to be on the radar screen there to take advantage, and we'll see if Travis can continue his momentum.
Brett, on your Twitter or X site, you had the longest current winning streaks. Now, if I told you before the season, you and I, we could walk away with a lot of money. Army's got 11. But even as big a surprise as that is, are the teams tied for third? BYU with 8. Now, Miami of Florida, because of Cameron Ward, he gives you a shot there. But in Indiana, how surprised are you that, you know, Army has continued this role this season? And Indiana, with, you know, what they've done this year, we saw last week. I mean, they blew the doors open in that game. So are you surprised that the Hoosiers have played that well this year?
Yeah, I really am. I mean, I thought they would be improved with Kurt Cignetti, but, you know, he was talking about Ohio State calling their shots. Cignetti called his shot in Indianapolis, too.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
He said, you know, they're picking me to finish last. He goes, I've never finished last in the conference. The last time I was picked to finish last, I finished second in the conference. If you don't know who I am, Google me. I win. And he's living up to the hype. And, yeah, they have Ohio State, you know, in a couple weeks. And, you know, they have a very real chance of going 11-1. That we were talking about the playoff earlier. I'm fascinated to see how the committee judges an Indiana team that has dominated its schedule. But let's be honest, they haven't played the greatest. They're not playing murderer's row by any means. They haven't. The only ranked team they'll play is Ohio State. So, but still, they've already gone over their win total for the year, projected win total out of Vegas, and yeah, just an incredible job. He is, if not one of the leading contenders, the runaway winner for National Coach of the Year right now, I'd say.
Brett, thanks so much for joining us, man, because I think in 2 weeks we'll try to get back, and I think it'll be a little clearer picture of things once we get this week and next week's games kind of off the boards, because I think a lot of those games will be eliminations. Type games between what we see this weekend and next weekend, and a lot clearer picture of what potentially could be those 12 teams entering the national championship picture.
I agree. And, you know, remember, you know, next Tuesday,
yep,
it's a life-altering event that will occur impacting every American from coast to coast. Yep, that's right. The first college football playoff rankings. You thought I was talking about an election.
No, I knew exactly where you're going. Your mind's something like mine. Exactly that point. Brett, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, great job, and continue the great work.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All righty. Brett McMurphy, man, does a great job. Been covering college football now. I guess maybe he'd be okay to say it's over 30 years that Brett McMurphy's
covered. That's older than me.
Oh, I knew yeah, he was older than that. He covers it for Action Network HQ. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of Sports Talk right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele. Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line. Let's go to Tony and Metairie. Tony in the huddle with Mike and Cullen.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
The last NBA draft, the Pelicans picked in the second round before the Lakers. In your opinion, why didn't they take Bronny, since everybody knew LeBron wanted to play with his son, and then use him as a bargaining chip to get a better player out the Lakers?
Man, Tony, I've heard that theory before. I think they tried to pick somebody that could help them. And, you know, I don't know what the Lakers would have given you just to kind of tie you back up with your dad. He wasn't a coveted guy at all. The only team that would have picked him, it was the Lakers. So you're not in a good bargaining position there.
No, and it's like, do you think LeBron would then come here to play?
No.
No.
No, he's not coming here. He wants to stay out west. So, but I have heard that theory, Tony. I just don't think picking him, you getting really anything to bargain.
And I mean, even if Bron does come here, it's 1 year. And it's like, where is Bronny going to go?
No, LeBron ain't coming here.
But again, where's Bronny going to go? G League?
Eventually.
Probably sooner than later.
Sooner than later. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.